If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about banking in this episode and the upcoming episodes, hopefully, or inshallah, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we start our program, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to banking, and we haven't finished, in fact, those questions in the previous episode, let me ask you this question. Is the interest, taken by the banks of the Islamic Republic on loans granted to people by those banks to buy property or livestock or agriculture, etc., etc., halal or Islamically lawful?
Well, if it were true that the banks grant these amounts for building or buying property or other purposes under the title of loan, then there would be no doubt that the paid interest is haram. And of course, the transaction is problematic because of this simple reason, or because of the fact that the transaction was based on usury, which is haram. Mm-hmm. The banks would have no right, of course, in this scenario to demand payment of such interest. There is no such thing as interest which is halal. Interest is not halal. And what we call riba is absolutely forbidden. Now, banks banks give the money apparently according to one of the host of Shari'i contracts, because there are numerous or maybe many, many Shari'i contracts which are legal, which are permissible and lawful. Mm-hmm. Now, I did mention the example of silent partnership, mudharaba, or musharaka partnership. And or maybe ju'ala, rent. If the bank gives the money and according to one of these actually contracts which are shari'i, which are legal, then there is no objection to the bank. For example, one way could be that the banks share the property as a partner, okay? Because partnership is halal. Mm. Now, as a partner, by paying part of the construction expenditure, the bank gives the money and the construction expenditure or bears the expenditure. There's no objection to receiving some interest from the other party because he is the investor, or both of them are investors. And of course, the bank or maybe the other party then sells its share to the other party. One party sells its share to the other party. Like, for example, the bank sells its share to the other partner to be paid mm-hmm. by the other partner in several installments. And this is the case we see, that banks sell their property to someone, and then the other party actually gives the money in several installments. And this takes time, of course. Sometimes it takes 5 years, 10 years to 30 years. And this is the case with most banks across the world. Now, there is no problem in taking the money or paying the markup which the bank puts for such a transaction. There it is permissible. And of course, such transactions have nothing to do with the loan granting and the interest levied, of course. There's no, it has nothing. These transactions have nothing to do with usury or loan-based usury or riba.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still working on or touching on some of the Islamic laws on banking and or related to financial matters. Sheikh Javid, somebody asked, I obtained a loan to set up a joint venture. I gave half of the amount of the loan to a friend of mine and made it conditional that he pay all the interest due to the bank. Is what I've done Shari'i or valid, Islamically speaking?
Well, if the granting of the money by the bank was on the understanding that the bank was a party to the joint venture that both the parties were aware of, the recipient has no right to dispose of it in any other avenue. You know, he cannot dispose of the money to someone else or to a third party, and let alone lending it to let's say to a third party. It's not permissible. So the money which is which belongs to the bank and also to the other contracting party should be disposed of and should be used for the same purpose for which it has been invested. It cannot be given to a third party. Of course, if in the case the money is given to a third party, that third party should consider it as a safe deposit.
Mm-hmm.
He should protect it. He should, you know, he should not use it in any for any other purpose except for the agreed purpose, which is in line with the objectives of the bank or the other party. So if that's not, if it cannot be used for the agreed purpose, then it should be returned to the bank because it is the property of the bank,
mm-hmm.
and not the third party.
But another subtle point in this question was that the amount, the original amount, was split in half, right?
Yes.
And he gave half of this amount to his friend. But he asked his friend to pay all the interest, all the like the money,
yes,
back to the bank. So is that okay? Is that permissible?
That's not permissible because it's a kind of usury-based transaction,
mm-hmm.
between that person and his friend.
Exactly. He himself and the bank.
And the bank. The bank basically did not allow him to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an unauthorized use of the money which he split into two.
Or abuse of the loan, basically.
Yeah, abuse of the loan, yes.
I see. Okay, let me ask you another question, Sheikh Javid. A person procured a sum of money from a bank to fund a silent partnership. However, he did so by presenting a forged document, all right?
Yes.
It was agreed that the money would be returned to the bank over a certain period of time, plus the surcharge, of course. If the bank was unaware of a false document, would the money be treated as a loan and the interest paid by the borrower as usury or riba? And what is the view if the bank was aware of the falsification of the documents?
Well, you know, if the validity of the silent partnership, which is a kind of contract, depended on the genuineness of the documents that were, you know, that were the basis of the contract, then the contract would be null and void because the document was forged and the contract was based on those forged documents. And so the bank, let's say, assumed that was not aware of the forgery, and the whole transaction was based and on,
mm-hmm.
it. Of course, this transaction is null and void, of course. But on the assumption that the documents were false, taking receipt of the money from the bank cannot be deemed actually a proper way of borrowing. And Ayatollah Khamenei says that it is not even deemed a silent partnership either. So it would instead be considered a procurement of money by way of illegal transaction, which is obviously not permissible, which is unlawful, because procuring money by way of illegal transaction is basically invalid. It is basically haram. And therefore, it should be returned to the bank together with the profits made from trading. The money and the profit gained should be returned to the bank because the whole transaction was invalid in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was based on forgery. It was based on false documents, which were not genuine, of course.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed, for your nice answers to these questions of Islamic laws related to banking and financial matters based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And this was the program Islamic Law on IRIB English Radio that was coming to you. And thank you very much for joining us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Yeah.